Well, today you're going to get a twofer. You're going to get a twofer. We are going to double team you today. And this will be the first time since I've been preaching with Pastor Dave, I have to say Pastor. I call him Brother Dave all the time because he's my brother in Christ. But on Sundays, I have to say Pastor Dave. I got to get that in my head because he is Pastor Dave. What's up? Yeah, I'm just killing time till we get started. We're up now, Pete? Awesome. So it's kind of neat because, like I said, today you're going to get double teamed. And we are continuing on in our series of understanding that, you know, we have to understand that building the kingdom requires our personal best. And you know, that's the section that we're in right now, because it's understanding that God wants us to build with that gold, silver, and precious stones. It's we who choose the wood, the hay, and the stubble. Because a lot of times we're doing it in ignorance, okay? Ignorance is not a bad thing. It's simply not knowing, correct? Yep. So today, after we have given you the last two pieces, you will know it all. But we are responsible to what we know. Do you understand that? Okay? And as best you understand, then, God will help you and work with you. So today, Brother David is going to start, and then I'm going to finish. So I'm going to turn it over to him and let him bring to you the last portion of his section, and then I'm going to go back and pick up and move us forward. So Brother David, get up here and give us the Word of God.
Thank you, Pastor Rich. Brother Dave, get up here. And that's fine. That's fine. Would you please turn in your Bibles to Matthew? We're going to look in there because I have Matthew verse 10, 11, and 12. And that finishes up the Beatitudes for me, for my section. So it's Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 10. As we turn to Matthew, and we're up there with the Beatitudes, which you're all starting to get. The Beatitudes is our gold and our silver and our precious stones, and that's what we want to build with. Okay? Starting in Matthew chapter 5, in the 10th verse. I'm in chapter 6. There we go. Now we've got where we need to be. Matthew chapter 5, starting in the 10th verse, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's pretty simple. You get persecuted, you get heaven, right? Okay, we're going to read on. "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Why does Jesus say, blessed are you when you're persecuted? I want you to think about that. I mean, persecution is not a good thing. I don't like getting persecuted. I mean, do you remember when you were in high school and kids would pick on you? Anybody here get picked on? I got picked on a little bit. Anybody get picked on? Yep. So let's go back to kind of high school days and kind of think about that. How did it make you feel? I mean, you felt terrible. But Jesus here is saying, blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness. I mean, there's people being persecuted all over this planet, in this town, all over this world, and they're persecuted for all kinds of different things, all kinds of strange things. But Jesus is very pointed here. He said, blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness. And I want to make sure I get that exactly how it says it. For the sake of righteousness. I want you to think about this. Jesus put this persecution at the end of the Beatitudes. All right? The other Beatitudes, he goes, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And at the very end, he goes, blessed are you who are persecuted. You know, when I think of persecution going on around this world, you know what I mean? People are beaten. They're hacked up with machetes. They're hung. They're killed. They're shot. They're burned. Okay? And I'm thinking about the Christians, okay? Not so much here in America. We're starting to see a little bit of persecution starting to come. You know what I mean? If you at Christmas time, if you say Merry Christmas to someone, they get all offended. They start having a cow. How dare you say that to me? That's a form of persecution. That really is. It's a form of persecution. We're in America. We have freedom of speech. Now, you can't be yelling fire in the middle of the congregation here. I mean, that's one thing. But to say Merry Christmas and they act like you said fire in a movie theater? Our world is going crazy, don't you think? I mean, it is really going crazy. So there could be persecution coming here, but we do get persecuted, okay? Sometimes your family members will persecute you. Oh, why do you go to that crazy church? Oh, why are you a Christian? That is the dumbest thing I ever heard. You ever have somebody say that to you? There is no God. Oh, Jesus is a figment of your imagination. And even if he did exist, he died 2,000 years ago. We can't even find his body. You know what I mean? That's a form of persecution. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. I want you to think about that. All those blessings of the Beatitudes, how do you develop those attributes? Poor in spirit, mourn. Those who thirst and hunger for righteousness. How do you develop something like that if there wasn't persecution in your life? There wouldn't be any reason to develop it, would it? I mean, if you're being persecuted, you're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I didn't do anything wrong. I just said, good morning. God loves you. And then off comes all the persecution. So Jesus said it was going to happen. The Christians were being persecuted. But I say that the point of it is to develop those attitudes. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. The gentle. Most of our world right now, with the despots and all the people that are in charge of some of these other nations, they want to be strong. They want to come over, they want to take over this. But Jesus said, no. The gentle is going to inherit the earth. How do you develop that gentleness unless there's some kind of persecution, unless there's some kind of reason to develop that gentleness? Okay? And it's really hard when you're being persecuted, like when you were picked on in high school or something like that, and you wanted to fire back. Oh, man, you wanted to rise up and go, oh, I'm going to knock that bully right on their butt. Can you imagine that spirit inside of you when you're being persecuted for being a Christian and have that gentle heart? And instead of lashing back out at that other person, okay, praying for them. Truly cultivating love in your heart for someone that's persecuting you. Because really, they're blind. People that persecute us, Christians, they're blind. They've been blinded by the ruler of this age. The demonic force that's on this planet has blinded them. I want you to think about some of the people that are out there that call themselves atheists, okay? There is no God. There's no spiritual realm. There's nothing but now, this physical body, and you get to just travel through your life like a wiggling worm. You get up every morning and you wiggle a little further, see how far you can get. And then when you die, that's it. There's nothing else. They have no faith whatsoever. They believe in just matter and energy. And that's it. And when you're dead, you're dead. You're dead. You're not coming back. There is no afterlife. What a terrible life to live, to have no hope in anything. And so they persecute people such as us that have faith. And they call us stupid. They call us ignorant. Well, you don't know anything about science. I want you to think about it. Some of the early scientists that started this enlightened age were all Christians. Isaac Newton was a Christian. And they always turned to him, oh, he was a really smart guy. He had about 32 letters behind his name. He was a doctor of this and all that other stuff. But he also said, I want to learn about this world because my heavenly Father created it. So persecution is going to come to us because that spirit's out there. You know one of the devil's greatest tricks? His greatest trick? He disappears. He gets people to believe that he doesn't even exist. All the while he's in there poking around this, moving that despot over here, getting this person to maybe walk into a church somewhere and pull out his gun and shoot up the congregation because he's an atheist and he hates Christians because they're so stupid. I can't live in a world with all these stupid people. And they lose their mind. And they persecute people. And shoot them. Christian churches is starting to happen in America. We've seen it in the last couple of years. I think about that in our congregation. I think about, boy, if someone had just come through those doors, they could do a lot of damage, but only if God allows them. God protects us. And if something like that would happen, if something like that would happen while I'm maybe in Walmart talking to somebody about Jesus, and somebody gets so upset that they get a can of diced tomatoes, all right, one of the bigger cans, diced tomatoes, and they come up behind me and they go, wham, right in the back of my head, all right? Amy said she'll take care of him. She just was sitting back there going, I'll take care of him. Now, my wife may be small and contained, but I want to tell you, nitroglycerin is the same way. Okay? When she's mad, look out. I've got to get her to the Beatitudes. Blessed are the gentle, for shall they shall inherit the earth. Honey, you need to be gentle. Gentle. But that could happen. Somebody with a can of diced tomatoes, wham, boop. Pastor Dave is now boop, laying in the highway in Walmart or something. Persecution comes. But I want to turn now to John. So why are we persecuted? And I've been kind of explaining that a little bit. But we go back to John chapter 11, and we get the word, and it explains it. John chapter 11. John. Chapter 11. Here we go. Chapter 11, John. Starting in the 39th verse. Oop. I think I messed up there. It's not John, it's James. I'm sorry. My fault. Got to go a little further back in the Bible. We get back to James. I am really sorry. I keep moving you guys back and forth because I've been kind of studying this sermon for the last 2 weeks, and I even messed you up even further. We want to go to John chapter 11. I am really sorry. But I had James in my mind. Oh, my goodness. And this is going out on the internet. They're out there going, boy, this guy's a real nut. He don't even know what he's doing. But now I look at my notes and I understand why we're going to John chapter 11. Please forgive me. I am a flawed and sinful human being. Amen? We Christians are not perfect. Not yet. We're going to get perfect someday. God's going to take us to heaven. He's going to perfect us, and this won't happen. But while we're here on earth, I'm glad that my congregation that I share with Pastor Rich is forgiving and kind. Amen. So we're in chapter 11 in John. And I'm looking for and I'm right there. So we're starting I'm going to start in 38. We're just going to back up one verse to 38. And this is where he raised Lazarus from the dead. And you're kind of wondering, what has Lazarus got to do with persecution? I'll explain it to you in a very short second. So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb, and now was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Remove the stone." And Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he's been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say that you will believe and you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone, and then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And the man who had been dead came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Now here's the part. I'm going to lead up to that. "Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done." Now, you would think that if someone comes running into this church and says, "So-and-so has just raised Bob Vila from the dead," and I'm just using any old name, okay, that would be joyous, that would be great, that would be wonderful, right? If I had passed away, okay, and say Pastor Rich was sent to my grave and he raised me from the dead, would you be happy? Amen. Amen? That would be something great to be happy about. But not here. Here's where persecution starts. For something good. Something good. "Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, 'What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation.' But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, 'You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people, that the whole nation not perish.'" Now there's a man who raised somebody from the dead, did a righteous thing. It was right to do. And the leadership is going, "Well, we got to get rid of this guy." Okay? That's the same thing you're going to face in this world. When you do good works in the name of Jesus for righteousness' sake, what happens? People are going, "I wish they'd stop doing that. Why are they doing that? Boy, those Christians are driving me crazy. They go out there, they feed people, they build hospitals, they do all this stuff, and I don't like it." Why would people act like that? Because they do not have the spirit of righteousness in them. All right? They look around and they go, "You know what? Why didn't I think of that? And since Bob thought of it, I don't like it." They might have liked it to begin with, but because Bob's a Christian and he thought of it first and did something righteous, something right, they get all upset. You know, people trapped in sin and bondage, when you come up to them and you say to them, "You know, you really shouldn't be doing that because it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt your life." They want to attack you. You know why? Because their conscience that they have seared in their sin is now reactivated because they're around someone else who's filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and there's righteousness in there, and they know you're right, but they just want to do it anyway because they think they have ultimate freedom. We're going to be persecuted. Things are going to happen that you just don't understand why. But that gives you such a great opportunity to develop all those beatitudes. I mean, it's hard to love someone else when they're yelling at you, when they're calling you names. And the spit's flaming out of their mouth, and they're all upset, and they're all red-faced, and they're screaming in public, and you're just standing there quietly. And in the end, once they're all done, you go, I love you. And it'll start up all over again. They'll get all mad again and start yelling and screaming at you again. Be joyful. I mean, just think about it. Great is our reward in heaven for those who are persecuted. I'm going to end there right now because I'm going to leave Pastor Rich 15 minutes for his part of the sermon. Plus, he has to move us into the next phase of this because we're done with the gold and the silver and the jewels. And Pastor Rich is the last jewel to give us. And then from there, there's an inspection. Okay, your house is going to get inspected. And then we're going to go on to the hay, wood, and stubble that we normally use to build. Thank you, Pastor Rich.
Thank you, Pastor Dave. I will get used to it. Well, today, as David said, we're wrapping up this gold, silver, and precious stone. And I just think it's kind of funny when, and I don't mean funny, ha-ha, but it's kind of strange because this one is, to me, very important. And it should be very important to all of us. All of them should be important. Amen? Because this is God's word, and he has spoken to us, and he gives us this. But this one here is one that is so real, and from it comes something that I pray that you will understand. I'm looking at verse 7 in the Beatitudes from Matthew 5. That's where I'm going to start, from verse 7. And this is the last of the Beatitudes, and again, we're going backwards because I didn't get to finish my stuff earlier. And I wanted David to wrap up with the persecution. But I think it's interesting that we go back and look at verse 7 because we haven't looked at it. And what verse 7 says. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Okay? How many of us in our lives want mercy? Okay? When you mess up, do you want judgment or do you want mercy? Mercy. We all want mercy, right? You know. Yeah, because if we make a mistake, we want people to forgive us. We want people to overlook it and allow us to continue on. Well, that's wonderful. But the thing I want you to understand is most of us don't give mercy, we give judgment. We're quick to judge and slow to forgive. God, on the other hand, is the other way around, because the mercy we're looking for is not mercy from other people. The mercy we're looking for is the mercy from God. And that's the part that we need to understand. Jesus knows that the world is not going to forgive us, okay? Jesus himself, through Brother David's very own teaching, we see and we know and we understand that Jesus brought nothing but mercy to the world, and all they wanted to do was kill him. All they wanted to do was rid the world of him, because that way they wouldn't lose their position. They didn't realize that this is a temporal place and that Jesus is talking about eternal things. That lasts forever. I want you to think about all those men and women who were there persecuting Christ and have persecuted Christ throughout eternity to keep their position. The worms are eating their corpses. And they do exist no more on this earth. But they have an eternity. And that eternity is an eternity in hell, where they will be tormented forever and ever until the end, when they will be destroyed forever and ever in the lake of fire. And they got to choose it because they didn't choose mercy. They didn't seek mercy. So what am I talking about when I'm talking about mercy? What's the fullness thereof? Because remember, it's not the things that we think of. It's the things that God thinks of. So what I want you to do is turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians 4. Turn to Ephesians 4. We're going to go to verse 32. Verse 32 of Ephesians 4. It's the very end of the chapter there. And this is a summation of exactly what is being talked about. when we talk about mercy, when we look to finding mercy and receiving mercy, because this is what God says to us from verse 32 in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Now, one of the things that we need to understand is when we look to mercy, it's not just simply looking at a person and saying, well, I forgive you, and then going over here and talking about them. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness means you'll never bring it up again. We need to remember, when we're talking the forgiveness of God, when God forgives us, He removes it and He remembers it no more. How many of us have forgiven men? How many of you have forgiven your wife of something only to remember it tomorrow when something similar or close to happens? And that tomorrow may be a week from now, 6 months from now, so on and so forth. And women, we know you don't do that at all. Right? I have just driven that nail right into the coffin, amen? Wham! We need to bury that stuff. That needs to go away. Because once forgiven, forgiven is done. And that's a truth. Because once we walk in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, man, I got goosebumps. There is no greater forgiveness, for we are sinless in His sight. And He says, now go and sin no more. And it says, Brother Dan has said to me so many times, you're forgiven until the next time. Isn't that right, Daniel? And I love it. Because Dan knows I'm going to screw up again and again and again. And are we willing to give the kind of forgiveness that God gave each and every one of us from the cross of Calvary? I think it is so wonderful because Jesus didn't say it's finished for now. He said it's finished, done, forever, all time, all sin. No matter how big it is or how little it is, you people who are out there who are saying to yourselves, but you don't know what I have done. No, I don't, but God does, and He said, done. When He says, done, that cake is baked. There ain't no putting it back in the oven. You and I need to understand, God has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us. And if we are going to be His and be utilized of Him to do the things of this world, we have to walk the way He wants us to walk. We have to build with what He builds into us. The things that He has put into us. Okay? How many of us walk arrogantly into the face of God? Not one of us. We will come boldly because we're told to come boldly. But even in our boldness, there's an apprehension. Am I right? I mean, we'll walk in before God, but we will humble. We bow our heads when we come before God, don't we? That's being poor in spirit. It's remembering He is God. I'm not God. You know, I said to Brother Dave, you know, we all make it about I, okay? It has to be about one. Now, I want to show you how significant you are. I want to show you the difference between I and God being number one, okay? I want you to think about a capital I, okay? It's a single little line with a line below and a line above, right? Now, I want you to think about a number one. It's a single line with a line below and a little detente out the front. That little thing over here on the side that would make it an I, that's cut off. That's you. That little thing here on the side that's cut off, that's you. That's how important you are. That little thing cut off. Now it's about one. You can put the I up there, but boy, you got to cut that out. Cut that, just that little piece, that little scribble out there, and all of a sudden it becomes one. It's about that one. Because the one has every eye covered. Because when He makes it about me, I am changed, and I'm no longer about myself. So I can be poor in spirit, and I can inherit all things. I can be mourning with those. We saw it here. The church is called. Why do we celebrate? Why do we raise up Memorial Day? We recognize the freedom that we have. How many of you have ever been to Arlington National Cemetery? Or Gettysburg and seen the cemetery there? Or any of these places where we know that men and women, hundreds and thousands, we got the Gap right up here, brothers and sisters, and I know many of you have been to the Gap. Okay? These men and women have laid down their lives for each and every one of us, and we need to mourn for their families. We need to mourn for their children. We need to mourn for the more people that are going to sacrifice their lives to enable us to be a free nation, and we need to think about this poor young generation, these millennials and so many others who are being raised up to think that what we have was a horrible thing. Because the very freedoms that they have that enable them to be able to say it was a horrible thing cost the lives of those men and women. And we need to mourn not only for those men and women, but for these young millennials who have bought the lie of the evil one. And we need to build this kingdom based upon these precepts and these principles. These are not written down here just because they are good suggestions. They are given to us as the outline, as the blueprint of life itself and how we as Christians are to build upon the kingdom. What happens in the life of the church? I think it is so amazing because you see it happening all the time, and it even happens in our little church here. Now, we're growing. I think it's so funny. I just visited with a whole bunch of pastors. Brother David was there. We had our EA luncheon. And Pastor David was there. Thank you. Just keep correcting me. I'll get it right. And I said to the guys, I said, wow, I just realized something. I'm senior pastor now. Because we have three pastors in our church, Pastor David and Pastor Brito and myself. I can call myself senior pastor. I'm the senior pastor of the Heart of Christ Church. Ooh. And the youngest. Oh, my gosh. Boy, my head's swelling. No, my heart's swelling. Because God's doing something. Because we are building. We, not me, we are building upon the kingdom of God using the very materials that He has told us. Using the gold and the silver and the precious stone. And I'm going to tell you right now, is gold expensive? Is silver expensive? Is precious stones expensive? Yes, it is. It's going to cost you something. Because you have to force yourself to do some of these things because it is against our very sin nature. Our innate humanity will keep us from doing these very things simply because we are fallen creatures. But we don't live as fallen creatures. We live in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And in that power, all these things that happen, all these things that come to us. The poor spirit, the hungering and thirsting for righteousness, the being peacemakers. Oh, my heavens, how hard is that? When you don't want to be a peacemaker and you want to throw your junk into the ring, right? But you got to be a peacemaker. Because I'm going to tell you right now, peace has to start here. And I think it's so funny because if you want to receive blessing, if you want to receive all this stuff and build the kingdom with this gold, silver, and precious stone, the first place you have to start building is in your own heart. Stop persecuting your brothers and sisters. Stop judging them on all these things. Start looking to your own heart. Remember, judgment begins with the church. Who is the church? Raise your hand, people. We are the church. Starts here. Start building here. Because if the foundation here isn't right, I don't care what you put down. You're putting down wood, hay, and stubble. And that's what I need to talk about next. Because God has given us all the goodness, and we have to choose it. And that's what costs us, because it means giving up something to self. It means giving up some of our pride. It means, you know, Miss Gloria, I got to talk to Miss Gloria here. Focus on me here. Miss Gloria, how many years have you been praying for people?
Quite a few years.
How much has it cost you? A lot, right? Just to pray. Because that means you've got to put people first before yourself, doesn't it? That means you've got to stop what you're doing. That means you've got to get your attitudes out of the way, even though you know what they did was wrong. And you have to humble your heart to come before a God who knows better, right? Starts at home, doesn't it? And that's a simple thing as prayer. Brothers and sisters, I don't care what you're trying to build. I don't care what you're trying to do. If you are not looking to the face of Christ in every moment of what you're doing, you're not building with gold, silver, or precious stone. You're building with your own attitudes, your own pride, your own arrogance. And that is all wood, hay, and stubble. And it will not last. We're going to start talking about this wood, hay, and stubble, what it looks like, where it comes from, and how it develops in the life of a church. I'm out of time. But God has all the time in the world. So next week, are you prepared to look at your lives? Are you prepared to look at your lives? And I know many of you right now are going off, boom. That's okay. Because God will bring you back. Because we all want to know. We all really want to know, don't we? Because I'll tell you right now, there are people out there who have names this big, and you all know what I'm talking about. I can drop those names, and we all know who they are. But the reality is, so much of what they have done will turn to ash, and there'll be nothing left. Is that where your life is? Is that where it's headed? That's what we're going to look at. Because as Brother David said, as Pastor David said, you keep telling me. I will get it. Like I said, he's Brother David to me all the time. All the time. But in the church, I have got to give him the respect he deserves. He has earned it. Amen? Because God has raised him up. Not through anything he has done. He's just confirmed it, right? But we know his heart, and we know the power of the Holy Spirit in him. It is Pastor David. And I love him. And we need, and see, this is what I'm talking about. You're helping me to humble myself and to grow. And I take that because there's mercy in it. There's love in it. There's grace in it. And in that, we will build this kingdom. We will build his kingdom, right? Because it's not the Heart of Christ Church. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. We're just trying to reach Jesus' heart. Amen? And that's part of this process. So today, let's pray. I want to get you on your way. It is a holiday week, and God wants to enjoy the holiday with you. It is beautiful outside, and he wants you to enjoy this day. But he also wants us to remember what our freedom has cost us. So while we're out there with our families, we need to be building this kingdom with gold, silver, and precious stones. Exhibit these characteristics to the people around you this weekend, today, tomorrow, and into all the tomorrows. Because as you do, your life will be changed. The children that you have, their lives will be changed. Your life will be changed. And the church you serve will see it, and they will change. The people you pray for will receive because you have done far more exceedingly than what anybody else could do because you have called upon the name of the Lord. There is no greater power. And that I can speak to every one of you, not just the three I chose. I chose three because we worship a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And He chose us because He is number one. It's not about I, but it's about Him. Father God, we stand before You as people chosen, called by Thy name. That we, Lord God, would give up ourselves. It costs us something to build upon this foundation. And Lord, that is a humbling of spirit and of life. And of allowing You, through the precious gifts that You have given us, to let those realities out and into this world. For Lord God, You have shown us who to be. Now may we be that individual unto this world and in the name of Jesus Christ, that He would be glorified, for then we are building with gold, silver, and precious stones. And Lord, we don't own them. They came from You. So God, help us, guide us, and keep us through the power of Your Holy Spirit, both now and forevermore. In Christ Jesus, amen. Bless you, and I know you're going to learn some good stuff today.